Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Welcome to episode 72 of the Gatecast. This week's feature is Watergate, in which the SGC discover that the Russians are operating on Stargate and have had help from a previous figure in the lives of SG-1. The episode is discussed by myself, Mike, Alan, and our guest Daniel. If you're wondering why I'm doing this and it sounds a little different, it's because I can't find the audio from the recording session, so I'm being creative, which is not my strong point. So, back to the show.
Tonight's episode is entitled, as Daniel said off-air, Watergate, and he was awaiting the appearance of...
Richard Nixon.
Yes. I would say God rest him, but since I don't believe in God, I'd feel a terrible hypocrite.
R.I.P., right?
Is everybody queued up?
I am ready.
Yep, ready to go.
Three, two, one. I click. Fade in on our corridor.
The corridor.
Sorry? You're saying that Amanda's in Beaker from Muppets mode?
It's going to take us 2 weeks to get the Incarns fully transplanted.
If the plan proves to be suitable.
No, Jack is pulling... Oh, it's a hat. I thought it was a glove. Do we have... We have nobody. No, we have Walter.
Chevron 7 won't engage.
It's his turn to get a call in.
Hey, Walter.
He probably comes into the office and one of the production assistants says, that guy in last week had half a dozen lines. You're on screen for 5 seconds this week.
The Stargate is broken.
Sir, this is going to take a while.
So, point of interest, how many Stargates are there on this planet?
Hopefully two.
According to this episode, three.
Why? Why three?
It looks like there was an energy spike in our power log about 8 minutes before we first tried dialing out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that something we've seen before when another gate is being used on Earth?
Like when Mayborn's NID guys had the other gate.
There is no longer a second Stargate on Earth.
Well, we have our one. Oh, no, two. We blew one up, didn't we? Did we blow one up? We blew one up.
Sorry.
No, we didn't blow one up, sorry. Did we?
No.
Like when the gate was found in Antarctica.
I've got something.
There was a minor seismic event that matches the time in our power log.
I need to know what seconds you guys are on.
1 minute, 37, 38, 39. Didn't we blow up a Stargate last season?
I hope not, because it'd take off the planet, sir.
And there's only one explanation I can think of.
The Russians have a Stargate?
No, I mean, didn't Jack take it up on a... No? Oh, no. Okay, fair enough. Sorry.
Nope.
If you remember the season finale, they beamed the Stargate up onto Thor's ship, which then crashed on Earth.
Right, that was the replica.
Yes, so that's the second one. Sorry, I was thinking through. That's the one they... this one that they're using now is the one they welded the permanent iris over. Yes?
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
That they had to unweld. Okay, sorry.
This is the secondary gate.
I've lost track of the number of gates we have. Wasn't there a DHD in Siberia?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was. In where? Siberia.
Well, no, yeah, but why don't they hook that up to the gate? All these dialing computers crap. I mean, they could just use the DHD.
There was a non-functioning DHD up in the Arctic where
Solitudes
took place.
The Jafar's handle.
Yes. At this stage, we're not aware of any working DHD on the planet.
Okay. This episode directed by Martin Wood, since Peter did the last one, and written by Robert C. Cooper, one of our showrunners. Oh, and we have Marina Sirtis in this.
Yeah. Sirtis.
Yep.
The Russians recovered the Stargate from the bottom of the ocean.
And the general's got his own personal spotlight.
Yes. Maybe he just got his head polished and he wanted to be welded. He looks like, I don't have a spotlight and my head's shinier than yours.
Satellite. They must have got lucky and beat us to it.
And they're admitting it?
We didn't give them much choice, Major.
I see Jack's going through a dark hair phase. He's very much to die, and Daniel looks like he's going bald.
Joke still has a caterpillar.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, the Russians know quite a bit about the SGC.
Oh.
They didn't say.
Which looks a different color. It was more yellow last week.
Now, either the problem is it won't close,
What happened was Jack stole Teok's caterpillar die, so Teok got revenge by taking some of Jack's just for men, so he's not as black as he should be.
There you go.
What about another black hole planet?
We would detect the gravitational anomaly, sir.
The Russian government is divided on how to deal with the situation. Seems the Russian president didn't support setting up a Stargate program in the first place. Until we called, they were planning on bombing the facility and covering the whole thing up.
We better get back to certain that go off.
No problem. The more talking, the better.
Are you suggesting that we cease to digress? Well, have you not listened to this podcast?
The less we talk, the more of the episode goes in, which people have already seen.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I love. Oh, yeah.
Of course, it might help if we actually discuss the episode rather than retain the baldness of...
Yeah, their hair color.
Or lack thereof. Let's not forget our lack thereof. We have white and shiny and brown and shiny.
Or Carter's too wide head with that hair.
See, Carter's back to using the super hold mousse, as it looks like someone carved that haircut out of molded plastic and glued it onto her head.
General, we'd be walking into an unknown situation to save their rosy butts.
We can't use our gate until we get theirs shut down.
Not to mention the potential danger of having an open wormhole between Earth and who knows where.
You'll rendezvous with Dr. Markov in Russia and proceed to the base from there.
And here we have...
I believe this was actually Colorado Springs, I think.
I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that.
No.
That looks like a radar bubble on top of the plane. Is that C-130?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Coast Guard plane that the Americans lent to the production. The actual crew walking about.
Dr. Markov, I presume.
Looking remarkably, that's up front. That must have been one hell of a wonder bra she had on track.
Well, remember, it's not a skin-tight suit either. Hmm.
I had hoped we would meet under different circumstances.
Jack O'Neill.
Yes. And Dr. Daniel Jackson and Teal'c.
Yeah, she's very well informed, isn't she?
Yes. Well, this is looking considerably more tanned. Obviously, she's getting out more. You don't spend all your time in a spaceship. You actually get a tan.
No, I mean, think about it. She's not half Betazoid in this one, so there you are.
Therefore, she's not white. Come on, her skin was the same color as the Forerunner, Carter's parka. Yes, you can tell it's a Coast Guard. I presume those... They are, aren't they? They're guns for landing at sea.
I sincerely hope not. You don't have one of them on sea.
I was first contacted shortly after Russian satellites picked up what we believe was an alien spaceship entering the atmosphere.
I love how Carter sits next to her because she's really her... Russian
equivalent.
She's the Russian, equivalent. She's the Russian Carter. Yeah,
Carter has better hair.
Sounds younger as well.
Yes.
Of course, we get the deliberate use of
actually,
the
with
shape,
the helmet on. Looking at her facial features, she does look remarkably like Carter.
She was
45. Carter's prettier.
She was 45 in this episode, and Carter was 35.
She hasn't aged well.
I was assigned to the program as Chief Science Officer, second in command to Colonel Sokolov. We've been in operation for 37 days.
Marina, that is, not Carter. I've seen Carter, and she's aged very well.
Very powerful people in the government. What did they want to do? They threatened to expose the existence of your program.
To what end?
To get the U.S. to share the technology you have attained.
I've missed what was being said, and as Pierre, I haven't actually watched the episode in the first place. Heaven forfend. I just want to scroll down until I can see where they are.
Oh my gosh.
We could benefit from our own program more than we could trust you.
How did you activate?
We have a dialing device.
Oh, look, now we have the DHD.
Ah!
We found the one from Giza.
It was confiscated from the Germans after the Second World War. But now I understand how you could send your people through and get them to return to your gate instead of ours.
That makes one of us.
We have boy side and girl side in the plane.
Yeah, Jack didn't want to tell them anything.
We've seen 1969 already.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we knew that there was a DHD.
Hmm.
It required precise timing, but it worked.
Until now.
I have an idea what has happened, but I think I've only seen this episode twice.
Too many times to count.
There has been no contact with the base since yesterday at 1200 hours.
Sir, we have a visual of the target runway. It appears to be iced over, and there's no response from the control tower.
We're going to have to jump.
Out of the plane?
What?
Out of the plane. They're going to have
yes,
to
this is a
rear end of the plane.
I suppose you expect my male bravado to kick in right about now.
I've read your file.
No mention of bravado, eh?
Well, every episode's got to have its little funny moment, hasn't it? We can't land, we're going to have to jump.
Mm.
This is fine for Jack, he's done this quite often. Sam, I imagine she's made a jump or two.
Sam's in the Air Force, she'd have to have done at least one.
Yeah, that's what I said, one or two.
Duke has the best line of all of them for this. Well, see, RDA has also had experience of jumping out of the plane too with MacGyver. So if you watch, he has the best jump out.
Stu! Gear him up! For a jump!
So in the transcript, that sounds like he's going to say something else, as in, this is stupid.
I thought he was calling him stupid.
I do not understand.
It's called a parachute.
It slows your descent after you jump out of the plane.
This device seems to be poorly designed to provide such a function.
It opens after you jump.
Yeah, Tilk confused.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I've done it hundreds of times.
I assume you brought the casement.
We're doing what?
Yeah.
Does this have a reverse gravity generator?
Can't we just hover 6 feet off the ground and jump down? He's suddenly rethinking his allegiance to the SGC.
To quote somebody in the 90s in work, I was constantly trying to encourage people to go for skydives, since thanks to being repeatedly hit by cars, I couldn't. And somebody said to me, I'm not going to jump at a perfectly working aircraft with only a silk hanky between safety and splattering across three counties. Which I thought was the most eloquently phrased reason for not doing a parachute jump.
Here we go. I did not think this is wise.
Hmm.
It's easy! Just jump and pull this! This does not seem wise, O'Neill!
You said it was easy, not wise!
If we get separated, we'll rendezvous at the base!
Well, he's not at that, anyway.
He doesn't look well, does he? He looks...
This does not seem wise!
This is not wise, O'Neill. No, indeed not.
As long as we can walk afterwards.
Yep.
But, hang on, there's not even a static line there. Duke doesn't know how to pull a ripcord.
Jump, then pull this.
Yeah, one of the A's jump.
Am I a bit behind, or are you there?
A little more training than that. I think you're a little ahead of us, Daniel. But only time-wise.
Aww.
Duke, Daniel, come in.
Oh, come on. I couldn't resist that, Duke.
There's been no response on the radios.
Their signals may be blocked if they are already inside.
That's a nice matte painting.
I don't think that's a matte painting.
They do.
You really think they shot that in Toronto? Or Vancouver?
It's Canada, there's snow available.
We got about 8 inches yesterday.
So 8 inches isn't necessarily a good thing.
Oh my gosh.
I know, I wasn't going to say anything.
He's going to edit that out anyway.
Let it go.
The pause, the fact that he didn't say anything and there was a pause before I said it gives him ample opportunity without anyone even noticing.
Alan's insecurities need to remain off here.
Right, this is disused power plant,
yep.
Which they've used before to film Tin Man.
Tin Man, which all they did was hang a big ball in the center of the ceiling.
I'm picking up trace amounts of chlorine.
Yeah?
Nothing dangerous at these levels, sir.
It's minus all the steam and the...
Alright, what is this place?
It obviously wasn't built specifically for your Stargate program. It was an experimental power station. Experimental? All the time allowed to say is that it was decommissioned 2 years ago.
I see that, and I want to start pushing buttons. I think, ooh, buttons, what do these do?
It helps shooting in the dark as well, because you can just do a bit of mood lighting, you don't see all the details, which obviously makes it out to be what it is.
Well, not just that, it makes it to be what it is, as in something a set you've seen before, so you're redressed.
Daniel, is that you?
I don't know, I'm heading down a long corridor.
Which one?
This one.
I love that one.
You need little windscreen wipers on the face mask.
Defrosters.
It's quite advanced for Stargate anti-chemical or biological equipment. Normally it's used in loose hoods, which aren't airtight.
Interesting point.
These three were shot. I am unaware of how these others died.
These doors lead to the Stargate.
Carter's obviously wearing the female version of the face mask, which has two little eye things, whereas the blokes are wearing the full faceplate thing.
No, that's Marina.
Is it?
Yeah, she's wearing the different outfit.
She's wearing the Russian mask, which is very Russian.
Open sesame.
That's a big door. Is everybody dead? I thought you'd only maintain an open gate for 47 minutes.
38 even.
There's something keeping it on. Yes, yes. 38.
Maybe we could add a gym to the end of that, you know? You could drop the audio and they're all dead, and then Dr. McCoy's saying, Jim.
They're dead, Jim.
They're all dead.
Marina, you have a talent for stating the obvious. They're all dead.
The mystery.
It's another
great right, now I've got that 80s, I think, Debbie Harry song in my head.
Good for you.
Well,
they have. My favorite one was he was worse than dead.
Well, I just want to wait for you to say I'm a scientist. Damn it, not a doctor.
I'm anything else. I'm not anything else. I'm a doctor.
Well,
Jack's not sure.
It's safe.
Jack's not sure. Speedy Teal's not a good guide.
Yeah, because he's different anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, Teal's their little canary they send down in the tunnels.
Surely they should use Daniel for that.
If he's dead. Oh,
no, Daniel hasn't actually died yet.
If Teal dies, it's really bad.
That's what happens. Head scientist goes away for a week and comes back and everybody's dead.
Imagine if Sam left.
Yeah, the whole world would go up.
I knew these men and women, Major. Some of them quite well.
You have your first day off in years.
So what happened here?
Colonel Sokolov enacted the Extreme Measures Protocol.
What's that?
The Stargate room is sealed and Substance 35 is released throughout the base.
Nerve gas.
Nerve gas?
It's okay, Colonel. It's a non-persistent gas. It evaporates after 3 hours. According to the computer, the protocol was enacted yesterday.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, it's a non-persistent, so that makes it okay.
Oh, yeah.
In aerosols, though.
If we had come a day earlier, we'd be dead now, but...
But hang on. I saw what looked like blood spots on the chests of the dead people. It looked like they'd been shot.
Just what?
Personnel assigned to the base. They should all be wearing ID tags.
Looks a lot more technical control room than the SGC.
Yes, but it looks big and clunky in Russian.
Well, yeah, it has an older feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, though, if you've got a DHD, it makes it a bit redundant.
But that doesn't make sense. The EM protocol cuts off the dialing device. If the protocol was enacted yesterday, where has the outgoing wormhole been drawing its power from since then?
Yes.
Yes. That's what Alan just said. Keep up.
Can't you hear the commentary been done 10 years after the episode came out?
Actually, Mike, you didn't tell us when this one was broadcast.
2000.
There you go.
Let's see. I've got the date here.
Usually gives us an exact date.
Fine. It is August 11th, 2000.
He's preempting your date production, Mike. Bloody uppity. Only 3 podcasts in, and he's trying to take over.
I know, it's these bloody Yanks, right?
That's a big container. They must have really brought a lot of stuff over.
It's gone.
If I ask what, and you say it's classified, I'm going to shoot you. Hmm.
The 7th address we successfully dialed led to a Stargate entirely submerged underwater.
Yeah, but when you see the canister that they kept it in, it's like, okay.
So it was decided that the manned mini-submarine would go next.
The Russians have got a sudden submarine. We get a little remote control. Automated.
Yes, well, you have to understand, this is Russia. People are cheap, robots are not. They can happily throw lives away. And then they can just get the workers of the Republic to build additional submarine, yeah?
Yeah, that is a little German in there.
If this liquid turned out to be an abundant, clean energy source...
That doesn't seem possible.
I was called away to Moscow before I could perform any significant analysis.
So now you're saying the water sample is gone?
Yes.
But when you find out what's powering their MALPs, that was not cheap. Alan has no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, we haven't found out what's powering the MALPs.
Like I said, too many times to count.
And there's normally about this stage, Alan, it comes rushing back to you.
Really?
We hear the aha moment.
Yeah, like House. At about 38 minutes, the light bulb comes off.
It's like Columbo. Oh.
Let's confirm it. Do you have another reconnaissance drone?
We left the first one there. All we have to do is reactivate the receiver.
Found plenty of tarps for him. Can't have the extras lying on the ground all the time. Cost money, that does.
Daniel, deal.
What's up?
Head back to the control.
Yes, whereas dummies don't. Or at least covered up extras don't get paid as much. My face is not on screen. My agent will go mad.
Yeah, when you have your credit man lying under sheet, it's not very good on your resume.
I was man under tap number 5.
They were all shot, and there was no apparent reason why.
They were the scientists working in the lab.
So the guys experimenting on that water gave the soldiers reason to shoot him.
So it seems.
The water. So is this the one where we see Teok in the giant Russian sort of subsuit thingy?
No.
I thought you might be interested, Dr. Jackson. We found some unusual ruins from an obviously extinct civilization on the ocean's floor.
You see, this is what happens with global warming.
Mm-hmm.
The seas rise hundreds of feet and cities are laying waste.
Yes, and yet Americans continue to drive SUVs.
The drone is malfunctioning. I can only pan and tilt.
And then some idiot's going to dial into our gate. You know it. You're going to be stuck that way.
Why would those men proceed through the Stargate knowing they will drown on the other side?
Even if, you know, the SGC got this gate address and sent a little drone through, you just wouldn't try it, would you?
Well, you don't know what the pressure is at that depth. It's not too bad since the person isn't actually crushed. You know, you go down far enough, everything liquefies.
You think the drone's radio transmitter is what's keeping the gate open?
That gate won't close if the drone is aiming a strong enough signal directly into the event horizon.
And the energy being emitted by the water has allowed the gate to stay open this long.
Exactly. It's a combination of factors, but all we have to do is shut off the drone.
The point is, dialing back, that'd be very dodgy. Would you really want to risk dialing back to Earth if the Stargate's in a swimming pool?
Right, it'd flood the SGC before you get in through it.
The drone is nuclear powered.
A nuclear powered drone?
We built several of them. We thought we might want to leave them on other planets for long-term observation.
To how long-term?
10 years.
You can let them off getting caught by a black hole. They didn't know it was there.
You don't voluntarily dial.
No.
I presume it's the... So what happens to the water that's trying to flow through the event horizon? We've never established that, have we?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd like to get a closer look at those ruins.
How many people does that thing hold?
3.
Oh, dang.
I've never been in a submarine before.
Wouldn't it be easier to just send a bomb in and blow up the mouth?
It's always a bad idea to send bombs to alien planets, yes. Especially when you
don't
know.
Send a bomb to do a Jafar's job.
Teal doesn't even go.
I don't know that. I haven't seen this.
Oops, sorry, I spoiled it for you.
It looks surprisingly roomy inside, though.
It does, doesn't it?
You don't see many submersibles where you can walk around and stand up.
No, not one that size. Even characters like, hang on a second, this is too big.
Spacious, roomy.
And Daniel's nice. Spacious.
So, exactly how much air do we have in this thing?
Over a day's worth. We won't need more than an hour.
Did you catch what was powering the mouth, Alan?
No, I'm not thinking about it. I'm focused on the episode.
It was a nuclear-powered mount.
And the fact that in the fridge I've got 4 different kinds of Erdinger.
Oh my gosh.
What?
I didn't say God, I said gosh.
Sure, I believe you. Billions wouldn't. You know, that chain looks awfully thin to support
yes.
a sub capable of holding 3 people and weighing approximately 15 metric tons. So is this our first example of what we might call a puddle jumper?
Yeah,
but it's a literal puddle.
Well, yes, that's what I was about to say. Thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome. Anytime.
You look at this thinking, how's this going to work then? But
good luck.
Thank you.
Somehow, as soon as it touches it, it supports it, which is handy.
Yes.
Quick
release mechanism.
You think it'd just burn a little ramp, use momentum to send it through.
And this is where they start to tick people off.
Yeah, little spinny bubbly thing. That is a big sub.
It's a lot bigger now than it did when they first shown it and took the tarps off it.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite beautiful.
What?
The rapid pressurization might cause your ears to block. As you might notice, there is no plant or animal life.
Doesn't appear to be any plant or animal life.
Colonel, do you read?
No, where's the torpedo control? The Russian sub, do you seriously think they're going to build anything that doesn't have weapons on it?
But it's not
even
Russian.
The question I have to ask, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to say at this point, is it a nuclear vessel?
Good night, folks, because it's never going to get better than that.
Sorry?
I'm saying, good night, folks, it's never going to get better than that.
I'm getting my coat.
If Major Cartwright is right, the gate will shut off. Ending transmission over and out.
Got the Russian, I've got the Marina Citrus, and I've got the Star Trek reference, all in one neat little package.
So let's have that look around.
Oh, the gate shut down. You've got a blind spot when it comes to a surname, haven't you?
Yeah, no kidding. He's got a little bit of dyslexia there.
I've got quite a lot of dyslexia. I have an official diagnosis, a report and everything. Fortunately, I didn't write it so you can read it.
Any moment wasn't now.
I was going to say, wasn't it 94 when they did the nuclear vessels one?
Maybe they thought they could swim to the surface.
Yeah, they could have gone up. Oh, there's a sign, welcome to Atlantis. It wasn't on Earth.
I think you're about 5 seasons premature on that one.
I'm glad you were right, Major.
Well, it still doesn't explain why your soldiers started shooting the science who were experimenting on the water.
There's a big shield bubble in front of us.
And the Nautilus goes by, or...
Captain Nemo waving.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we just mention the fact that we probably see James Nesbitt?
Well, the existence of the ruins suggests the planet wasn't always completely submerged. Maybe there's some clues down there.
Let's have a look.
Got me on that?
It wasn't bad.
Something wrong? The controls are getting heavy. I haven't touched the power yet, but slowing down.
Strong current?
It's possible. I'm pushing it to full power.
Ooh, that's not good.
What's that smell?
We've completely stopped.
Fire.
Extinguisher.
Yeah, don't want sparks in the submersible.
No, it's a highly oxygen. It's a pressurized oxygenated environment. Sparks are a really bad thing.
Yeah, fortunately, it wasn't a CO2 fire extinguisher.
Hmm.
Well, you would think they would have scrubbers on there instead of oxygen tanks.
You fix it?
Yes.
Scrubbers are always a good thing, but maybe inappropriate.
How about just scrubs?
I'm no Superman.
Thank you, Dan. You're doing something that I didn't have to.
What?
If it was a strong current, it should be pushing us backwards now.
But it's not.
No. We're completely stationary. It's like we're stuck in the mud.
Without the mud.
I'd say the commentary goes on about all the work they did to get this environment. Mm. Glycerin and Alka-Seltzer. The bubbles. For the bubbles. Alka-Seltzer.
They had to slow it down, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. One of my favorite characters.
Hmm. Why is Jack so nervous, as he's wondering about?
Yeah.
Did Jack hear a noise?
There's dead bodies everywhere. Why wouldn't you be nervous?
I see dead people. Yes, we all do.
But I do.
I say this facility, it may be very secure overall, but walking from compartment to compartment, there's no glass doors or anything.
No.
They've got a bigger kitchen than the SGC.
Well, we don't actually see the
kitchen. We haven't actually been in the SGC kitchen. We've seen a sort of initial food preparation area, but there could be a main kitchen behind.
That's it.
Mainly we see the Jell-O table on that.
Yes.
Let's not forget the porridge and the Fruit Loops.
And the pumpkin pie.
Yeah, Jack turned off the oven.
That wasn't an oven, that was a freezer.
Jack turned off the oven as he walked past it.
Yeah.
Holy frozen bag of ice. Ta-da!
Holy frozen bad guys.
Well, what do you know? Mayborn.
That wasn't Mayborn.
It was Mayborn.
Who do you think it was, Alan? Who does it look like?
Okay, I'm just thinking, logistically speaking, he's dead.
Maybe he is.
How's it going?
I think I can fix it.
Wait, 5 minutes ago you said you definitely could fix it, and now you just think you can?
What do you want to hear? I don't understand why this happened.
Well, given the obvious solid craftsmanship
of this
thing, I don't see how this could have happened.
If you're implying that everything Russian made is of poor quality, actually, the sub is Swiss.
So they occasionally catch fire, but they keep perfect time.
What?
Yeah, sulky Danny.
Sorry. Hanging around Jack O'Neill too much.
Yes, he probably has.
Sorry. Every time you say Danny, I keep thinking about. I think you're talking to me because that's what I go by.
Is it all right?
Well, here's something else that shouldn't be happening. The outside pressure is increasing.
My headset looks surprisingly like hers. Okay.
The gauge must be malfunctioning.
But it's Swiss.
Depth is constant, and pressure should be relative to depth.
And if it keeps increasing?
Just tap it a bit. It'll work.
Do the Han Solo trick.
The sub will implode.
Yeah, that's not good.
Cue ominous music.
By the way, should we have referenced Jack's Batman reference?
Daniel did.
Sorry?
Daniel did.
No, Jack. Oh, Daniel. Oh, Air Daniel, sorry. Okay, yes. I understand you.
Oh, good God.
I love this.
Can he move?
How the Russians acquired the information.
Tap, tap.
All the actor is thinking is, move, don't move, don't move.
Solid. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Nope.
Do not humans usually die when they are frozen?
Iridescent steam is awesome.
Oh, the special warfare kept him alive.
Yeah, but Mayborn's a tricky son of a bitch, isn't he?
They usually don't breathe when they're dead, either.
Can't trust him to die.
Mayborn Tom McBeath, who has no IMDb picture. He's surprisingly like Mike. He has no picture.
Mike Judge?
Oh, my. What?
Chris Judge. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
We came through the Stargate just as we did this time. We took the sub straight to the dialing device and redialed Earth. The gate opened and we headed through.
That's it.
We collected the water sample just before heading back through the event horizon.
No trouble.
Admit it, you're making it up.
She's making up as she goes along.
I'm pretty sure Sam makes off of it up.
Yeah, well, that's because she has used word more than three syllables and Jack's eyes glaze over.
My research indicates that the gate actually has the ability to use density, molecular structure, and the force being exerted on the event horizon to determine whether something's actually trying to pass through.
I know. That's where I got the idea.
Okay, Sam, whatever you want. You're all signing it.
Who was piloting this thing? It was Citrus, wasn't it?
Not you two.
Well, that was deliberate.
It were close enough.
Figured it was.
I couldn't remember what a character's first name is. What was it? Something Markov.
Svetlana.
Because whenever you put Marina in charge of any vehicle, she has trouble.
Yeah, she did
crash
it.
That's not fair. Just because she broke the Enterprise in half.
She didn't break it in half. She just crashes into a planet.
Yes. All that empty space and she hits a planet.
Happened to my brother.
He hit a planet.
He jumped out of a planet into a virtually empty field and managed to roll into a single concrete reinforced post in approximately 400 acres of flat green land with no in it.
Did he look down and think, ah, that looks soft. That'll break my fall.
Broke his leg so badly he had to get an external fixator.
Evil Knievel without the hay bale. Oh, it's a brick wall.
You're a family that's very familiar with hospitals, aren't you?
His kid used to slag him off with the external fixator. They'd say, put it on the telly, Dad, so we can get better reception.
Oh, that's nasty. That's it. Yeah, they're in trouble here. They're not actually moving, but the pressure's increasing, which is the water actually acting on the submarine rather than...
Oh, that's marvellous.
Any natural...
That's the ultimate would-you-rather. Would you rather drown or be crushed?
Well, it's not drowning technically. It's suffocation.
Asphyxiation. Yeah. You want to be technical?
Well, air is a fluid.
What are you doing?
Pushing the engines harder will only burn them out again. Next time I may not be able to fix them.
And if we stay here, we'll run out of air.
If the pressure keeps increasing at the current rate, the sub will implode long before we run out of air.
Or that.
I figure we have maybe an hour.
I agree. The Front bubble will be most susceptible. It will be the first to go.
Could we stop agreeing on how we're going to die and start doing something about it?
Oh, wow, a good sit-up.
All right, that's far enough. Mayborn?
At this stage, we realise this isn't quite the Mayborn we remember. There's something different about him, apart from being frozen and coming back to life.
He's a little bit nicer in this episode, and he has acid reflux.
Yeah, brace yourself for a terrible special effect.
Yeah. We can see through the hose.
Oh, dear me, that's not good. It doesn't look natural. He's back to himself, though, now. And, of course, he knows exactly what we're going on. Yeah, you stand there, Till. We'll run away.
What? Move if you want to live. Shoot me if you want to. We're dead if we don't move now.
Till.
Mr. Roboto.
You're too late for him. Jack! You open that door, we're both dead, I swear. You can't help him.
Damn, out of my way.
We are Borg. We will assimilate you.
Who does that walk with Teok's existing symbiote? Is that Battle Royale?
It's my body.
Actually, it's my body. It's not your body, it's my body. Okay. Would that count as advertising? Or is that stuff for sale in your country, Mike?
Don't recognise the advert now.
Okay, fine. In the event that we actually have an Irish listener, it counts as advertising. Otherwise, it doesn't. Since I don't listen. Rain looks better in that light. You can't see the wrinkles.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Exactly what test did you run on the sample when you brought it back?
As I said, we had begun preliminary analysis. It was being kept in a sealed container. It hadn't even been opened yet when I went away.
How did you know it was giving off energy?
The container maintained a temperature several degrees above room temperature.
Now, this is handy. You know, some of the details that could have been useful before going through the gate.
Yes. Yeah, we can rename you Teok now.
Yes. The water wasn't real water. It was emitting energy, which is why the gate was open for all that time. Mm-hmm. And which is why the water is probably keeping him here now.
Yes.
I just wanted to try my new submarine, so.
Yeah, that was it.
So we don't know that's actually water out there.
I wanted to find the nuclear vessel. I mean,
let it go, my man.
In 8 minutes. I'll let it go in 8 minutes.
Now, they cheated us here by not actually using a cold room that was cold.
What? The water. When they exposed it to the air and started chemical analysis, it just evaporated.
Sod the actors. Mm-hmm. Make them breathe out proper.
Yeah, well, that's true. I can't see. Oh, hang on. I'm not seeing any vapor.
You're not supposed to notice.
Therefore, my conclusion is they're not actually the actors, they're alien replicants.
There you go.
They wanted to go back through the Stargate.
Who's they?
Life forms. In the water. Countless numbers of microscopic organisms, intelligent life forms.
Hey, if I can get a Kurt Russell reference in, I will.
It's smart water.
Yes, the water thinks. Good God.
They forced us to try and take him back through the gate. The soldiers tried to stop us. There was shooting. If an infected man was killed, the fluid came out of him and more were infected. It was chaos. One of the infected soldiers managed to get to the DHD and get the gate open. That's when the base commander enacted the EM protocol to stop it.
And that explains all the dead bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we first heard about the nerve gas, it seemed a bit brutal, but in essence, it's exactly the same as the nuclear bomb we've got in the SGC.
Except it doesn't actually blow up the gate.
That's true. If there's an alien invasion, all it does is kill the gate personnel.
It's the sort of neutron bomb version of the nuke.
And probably nerve gas would just feed the aliens in the gate room itself.
Almost as if, you know, we want to get rid of our own personnel so they can't talk. And then nobody can say it was our fault the aliens invaded.
How do you know all this?
I don't know how exactly. I just do. They must have communicated it to me.
This is the stuff that's in Teal'c now. How do we get it out? Come on, Mayborn, it came out of you.
They needed to go back. You wouldn't let me go. I guess they thought Teal'c could get him home.
What was Mayborn doing here in the first place?
He was convicted of treason, so he ran away.
I didn't understand a word you just said, Daniel.
After the NID operation got shut down, he obviously escaped somehow, probably because there's still people in the chain of command who support him, and he took all those files and whatnot with him.
The whatnot's important.
Isn't it convenient how we're all learning the same thing? Even on another planet, we're learning at the exact same time.
It wasn't the gate causing the resistance. It was the life form trying to prevent you from leaving.
And now it's perceiving us as some kind of threat.
Well, wouldn't you be threatened when something like that came through your Stargate?
Yes.
Anything comes through the Stargate, we aim guns at it.
I thought that timing was a little too convenient. Yeah. Perceiving us as some kind of threat.
Well, it's Smartwater. It was listening.
Yes, I do perceive you as a threat. Bang.
Fight it!
It would have been unrealistic if Jack could fight Tilkov.
Game over, man.
Yeah, we'll live for 30 seconds longer.
It's all we've got. The pressure alone...
That was the gate effect.
Nice.
Oh dear. Somebody's been watching the Abyss.
Daniel?
Oh, come on. This came out of the Abyss today.
Whatever happens in the movies turns up on TV a year later. When the technology to make it gets cheap enough.
Vice versa.
Didn't Sean say 2 years? Don't. I listened to that one today, so I don't think I didn't get the reference.
What's he doing? Daniel.
I think he just wants to understand.
Me, Daniel. Who are you?
What?
This.
Well, Daniel's had experience with water monsters before. Oh, that's not good, Daniel. What are you doing? It's got me.
It's got all of us.
Dear me.
How did the gate close in the end? Then? Did the other sub get crushed?
No, they shut it down.
Wasn't Jack and Teok shut it down?
No, they shut it down while they're all in the control room.
That's when Teok just realised, oh my gosh, this water was in Mayborn. Oh, I'm going to vomit.
Not pretty. That's even, that's probably even worse, the fact. And whatever the life form is going back through the gate.
I'm on the other hand. Okay. SG-1 is now a two-person team.
Yep.
Wouldn't they be SG-2 then?
They had no wish to kill me, O'Neill. They only wanted to travel home.
That's good. You're right.
SG-2 is SG-off.
Be SG-05.
SG, the odd couple.
Okay, I think we should duck.
I used to more warning than that. You're all simple, simple tools.
Everybody can dial this gate better than us.
They come flying through the gate, hitting the iron, and they're like, that hurt.
Camera cut away.
Had to hurt.
You didn't actually see that. Okay, now that we've managed to drag the camera, stop panning there, because that way you can't see the mattress. They actually landed on the back of the ramp and going down and replacing the stunt people.
Didn't you guys leave here in a submarine?
Rather unsatisfying ending, really, because we don't really know what the hell went on.
Last thing I remember, we were being pulled into the...
Not really sure what happened, sir.
Here's a thought. We just exchanged hostages. It's just a thought.
Yes, they can bring this creature back at some point if they choose to.
I don't think anybody should really go through that gate again.
It's Ergo all over again. I don't really remember.
Jack's probably right there. Yes. We got our people back when they got their people back.
Assuming there was more than one people. But they did actually kill some of our people.
No, we killed our own people. Yeah, we shot our own people because they were possessed.
No, but what about the person that was floating?
They drowned themselves.
Yeah.
Alan.
Yeah, as we saw, you know, Tilk was able to resist.
So resistance is not futile.
Tim Ward did say there was another scene filmed for this right at the end, mm-hmm. and it wasn't included because they were running over. And it's another one of them scenes that we've never seen or saw, may never see.
And one scene. So what you're saying is it's
never seen. Yeah.
So yeah. So you saw. You say it's an unseen scene we never saw.
Okay, which one's Abbott and which one's Costello?
It was on first.
I thought Abbott and Costello were both married.
Oh, that's on second.
So you're both.
Greetings, guildies. I'm Kenny.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're the host of a brand new podcast, Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast of the web series The Guild.
Each month, we'll bring you the latest news about the Guild cast, including what projects they're working on and what conventions they'll be attending.
Also, we'll be updating you on the current season, be it Season 2, which is currently airing on MSN Video, or Season 3, which is in the early pre-production stage.
We'll talk about some behind-the-scenes fun of Season 2,
as well as having cast, crew, and fan interviews.
So head over to iTunes and subscribe to Knights of the Guild.
Or go to our website for a direct download at knightsoftheguild.podbean.com. Zaboo!
I don't know, that kind of flew by, that did.
It did. It's only 7:53.
The first episode I did was a little strained. The second one was, you know, a lot better. And I think this one's pretty good, too. For sitting there going,
Yeah, the next one you're doing yourself.
Yeah, we're just taking the week off. Record, you know. On the subject of next one, since convenient segue, next one we have is the first ones.
Maybe that'll be the first one I should do. No.
And a picture on the back of my box looks remarkably like an Unas.
Yeah, it does, a little bit.
Well, as we know, the Unas are regarded as the first ones. And that was actually said in the episode, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But they're the first what?
No, we went over that with the episode with the semi-Catholic sect and the bishop who got taken over by a ghost. Yes,
when Unas does not actually mean one.
One.
Uno? One? Unas? Uno? One?
Yes, a slightly confused Jack. Actually, my title card is a slightly puzzled Jack.
We actually see a death of a person, but it's sad to see him go so early in that episode.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Daniel Jackson has been dragged off by a creature called an Unas. This is search and rescue.
When a predator strikes without warning, Colonel O'Neill vows to save his partner at any cost.
Can you track it?
Indeed.
Let's move out.
But more than one enemy lies in wait.
Lower your weapons. One or more of you may have become host to a Gaul during your watch.
Now, no one is safe.
Tilk!
There's no hope of escape.
I think I've just been marked for death.
And one false step could turn them all into sacrificial prey. Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
A little trivia for Watergate. That was the episode Kurt Russell paid a visit to the set. He was on the lot filming 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yep.
So while they were talking in the control room, the original... Oh, my God. I blanked on Jack O'Neill's name. The original Jack O'Neill with one L was sitting in the background listening to him.
I think more than one nod to the thing.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So appropriate that Kurt Russell should actually visit. Has Daniel Spader ever visited the set?
I don't think so. I have seen some video of Kurt Russell on the set in one of the DVD extras or special shows, so that's probably on YouTube.
Yeah, you can have Google.
Have you seen pictures of Kurt Russell on the set?
Doubtless he had them when he released this episode. Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us. We're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Thanks very much for listening, and hope to hear from you next week. We do appreciate you downloading. Feel free to give us feedback. I've been Alan.
And I've been Mike.
And I've been Daniel.
Thank you and good night.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.